This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hang 2 weeks in a row. It's time for
Super Bowl Super Browns. Yeah!
Audio courtesy of the Cleveland Browns Radio Network, your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football, 92.3 The Fan, and News 5 there with the quote that got everybody in a stir on the internet. But before we get into that, I thought Dylan Gabriel was pretty good. I don't know what Deontay Johnson and Blake Whitehart were doing, but I think Dylan Gabriel is pretty good. Didn't like the one handoff. We'll work on that, but I thought he was pretty good. It's making Kevin look better. Questions need to be asked.
Did preseason game number 2 finally get you on Kevin Stefanski's
side? Well, we'll talk about that coming up at 6:24. All right, so first off, do we think Dylan Gabriel can be a QB for us?
Back up, right?
Yeah. But so did he look like a competent NFL quarterback?
In a preseason game, yeah.
Oh, come on. Did he look like a competent NFL quarterback?
In preseason game number 2, I thought he did. Made some nails, third down throws.
Okay, let me re-ask it then in a different way. Did it make you question Daryl and Zach and a few others about what they were seeing in practice?
No, not at all.
Oh, I think I have to beg the question.
I mean, it wasn't
to Daryl and Zach later on.
It wasn't just them. It was 100% of people that were at training camp.
I understand that.
Said Dylan Gabriel looked terrible.
Not 100% because Lance Reisland said that he didn't look terrible. So that's not 100%.
He was not showering him with the praise that he showered Shedeur Sanders with. There was a clear difference.
Well, there was also one person in particular, Lance, who was not killing Dylan Gabriel. So the only thing I'm asking, I have to ask, should I ask Zach and Daryl? I'm not trying to pick a fight. Maybe I am. I guess I have to ask him what changed between practice and the game, because he doesn't seem to be a gamer. Like, well, I hope he's a gamer. A gamer is a person who really doesn't do well at all in practice and doesn't really focus on things, but when the lights come on, they turn on, it's like, well, you can't say nothing to the guy. But for Dylan Gabriel, like, the whole reason you took him is because of the study and the smarts and how he did knowing how to run an offense. So that wouldn't be a gamer to me.
Yeah, but I asked going into the weekend, I'm like, there's no way he's just never going to have good moments. I saw him on some of the biggest stages of college football making awesome throws. Like, there's no way all of that was lost, like in a Deshaun Watson like way. Like there had to be something there.
So you're pretty tepid in your praise of Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, but honestly, it not that far different from how I felt about Shador. I mean, Shador showed amazing, you know, ability to create these incredible plays, and then you saw like the worst play ever, him going backwards 40 yards. Like, all that's in there. It's the same stuff we saw in college. Mm. And I fully expect, like, guys, you know, finally, is this the first time that Dylan Gabriel's actually been able to not have the ball taken away from him after a throw or four throws? Like, there is it. You said, what's the difference? Why would there be such a difference between things we had seen in training camp to a preseason game? It's because they don't run you off the field after a series of throws or one throw. Like, you get to keep going. You're not splitting with three other quarterbacks, or most of the time it was two other quarterbacks, which is what we've always said from day one. And I think you've been with me on, since when do you ever split reps with four quarterbacks to try to either get one ready or to determine a pecking order?
That's good.
Like, that almost never happens.
Well, it happens here. I would assume so. Well, I don't know. I think the Philadelphia Eagles are almost in the same spot. I mean, once we stop with this charade of Joe Flacco, mm-hmm. is he the starter? Is he not a starter? That's going to end today. We'll stop with that charade today on is he a starter? Is he not a starter? Or tomorrow, whatever. So he'll be the starter.
That's funny. Why don't we know already?
Like, I'm looking
What are they waiting for? What's the strategic advantage?
Don't know.
Do they think they're keeping Cincinnati? Do they think they've got a horde of Cincinnati Bengals employees that are in the office just pouring over tape?
I don't wish I could tell you, but I don't know right off the top of my head. But if I looked at the if I looked at the Eagles depth chart going into Saturday, and I think you might agree with this. I mean, they had Jalen Hurts, okay, he's definitely their starter. Everybody knows that. But then you had Tanner McKee, who seems to be entrenched at number two. And I think Dorian Thompson-Robinson might be the odd man out over there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Because I don't know if they're going to just move on from Kyle McCord. I know he was, sixth round, but I don't know. Everybody was talking about upside with him, so it almost becomes kind of the same conversation. Either way, I thought Dylan Gabriel played pretty well. I thought he played pretty well. There were a couple of bugaboos here and there, a couple of things that people wouldn't like, you know, the handoff with Pierre Strong, things like that. But the pick six, where, again, I don't – where the spacing – I have no idea. Like, I saw the News 5 production of it. I know what people are wanting to get to, and we'll get to it here in a second. The News 5 production, then I actually saw Ross Tucker, and who's the guy who, I thought he was just a voice guy.
Scott Graham?
Scott Graham, yeah. I thought he was just, I didn't know he did play-by-play and TV and all that stuff. I was like, whoa, what is this voice? This is the guy. I go, wow, he's doing play-by-play. And Ross Tucker was fantastic on their side. Not that our people weren't fantastic, but Ross Tucker was great. He goes, what's the spacing? What is this? They're standing right next to each other. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, it was clearly...
And I know Deontay Johnson kind of got shoved off the spot, but...
Shocker.
Yeah, it was... I don't know. Immediately, I started getting texts defending Dylan Gabriel about the pick six. I thought it showed something where he was able to go right back in. Because you're right. They don't just take you out and that's it after a pick six like that in a preseason game. He went right back out there. I thought the pass on the attempted screen to start off the next drive was way worse than the pick six pass, oddly enough. And then they were able to go down, get a field goal, get moving, and conduct an offense again. So I was happy with that. I was not set. You're never satisfied, but I was happy with that. But obviously, the big thing is the comment that we played during the open of the show, which was there's entertainers and competitors, and he's an entertainer. And immediately the internet went nuts, as the internet's willing to do.
He's a competitor.
Did I say entertainer?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He's a competitor. He's not an entertainer. There's competitors and entertainers, and he's a competitor, not an entertainer. And immediately the internet went nuts and thought that was a shot at Shador Sanders. So I want to play the entire question and the answer. Now, Aditi's going to join us at 7:20 today. Here's Aditi talking to Dylan Gabriel on Channel 5. Hit it.
You gave us some fabulous wisdom on how you tune out the noise and you don't let it infiltrate yourself. Will you share that with everybody at home?
It's just part of it. You know, there's entertainers and there's competitors. And I totally understand that. And my job is to compete. And that's what I'm focused on doing. Of course, we're doing this mid-game, but, you know, it's something that I'll get used to and just want to be the best teammate I can and create an environment where we can all go do our best work. That's all we want to do.
So somebody definitely said something to him after the game that the internet was getting worked up about this sort of commentary, because there was an explanation later on with questions in a post-game press conference that Dylan Gabriel conducted. So here is his first explanation of the entertainers versus competitors line. Go ahead.
All you in this room are entertainers. You have a job to do, and I respect it, right? And I'm a competitor, so I have a job to do as well. Understanding that, that's how I've lived by, and I've said that multiple times. So definitely not a new quote, but something that I've definitely said before.
Did anybody find evidence that he had said that before?
I don't.
Did we have the internet sleuths on it?
You remember the time where you and I were going, "What's keep the main thing the main thing?" And we didn't know, and people were like, "Ken, people have been saying that for years." And then that's all I've heard ever since is keep the main thing the main thing. Here's him continuing further. He says it was not a shot at his teammate, Shedeur Sanders.
I'm all about our team, you know what I mean, and each other. I would never make that, and I've said it before. That's why it's interesting. But for me, I've explained it. Entertainers are you all, competitor. That's what I am and all my teammates, and we both have jobs to do. That's it.
All right, go ahead. What did you think?
Obviously, when I just saw the quote, which is, I think, how 99% of people, I mean, yes, there were people watching it live, but I think 99% of the people that saw this quote relayed to them in a group thread, on a Reddit board, or just at the feast where we were, I think they all assumed it was a shot at Shedeur Sanders. And so did some people here at the station as those messages were making the rounds. Eventually, I think it was like an hour and a half later, I saw the full clip. I'm like, oh, okay. It makes sense.
I didn't immediately think that. Am I being naive? I didn't immediately think.
You didn't immediately think what?
I didn't think it was a shot at Shedeur Sanders at first.
What'd you think it was?
I just thought, honestly, I just thought he was just saying there's entertainers and competitors, and I'm a competitor, and that's it, because I think that he knows that people have been saying things about him at camp. That's the way, I swear to you, that's the way I thought it on my kids. I know you guys don't care if I swear on my kids, but I'm just telling you, I thought that everybody was...
Yeah, you normally swear at your kids when I'm on the phone with
you. Well, that too, but I thought that people were bagging on him during camp. Mm. He didn't do anything to dissuade him. I mean, it was just not very good performances, and then he went out there and he played, so I thought he was thinking his play, let everybody know. Listen, that he wasn't a bad QB.
Part of it is for all the people, I think, that have made their minds up on who these guys are just from camp or from what the host you either like or despises or the reporter you like or despises is saying about them. And I think what happens is some of it gets lost in translation. Like, you're projecting, because imagine, we said this, that the day that Dylan Gabriel, the moment he got drafted by the Browns in the third round, had to be one of, if not the biggest moment of his life, right? And then two rounds later, they go and take another guy at your position, at a position you never see. Like, you've seen two running backs. I mean, Dylan Sampson and Quinshon Judkins. I mean, I have seen teams do that. I've seen teams take multiple offensive linemen. I don't know how many times I've ever seen, especially in the third and fifth round, maybe you'd see a team take a quarterback in the first round, and that's the future. And then maybe a dart in the sixth round, and it's like, well, we'll see if he makes a team. You never see this. So I think what happened was immediately fans chose their fighter, right? We're either going to take Shedeur or we're going to, I mean, I don't know who took Kenny Pickett, but he was already here. They either took Shedeur or Dylan Gabriel. Most took Shedeur because for obvious reasons. And then they got in battle mode on whichever guy it was, and then they aligned themselves with the people that agreed with them or disagreed with them, and they aligned themselves with the reporters that said things, or they went to battle with the reporters that said something, and so on and so on. And so if you saw that in a text, on a Reddit board, on social media, if it got sent to you that warriors versus entertainers versus competitors, like, yeah, you're going to project how you felt about this thing the entire time. And if you hate Shedeur Sanders, and you love Dylan Gabriel or vice versa, you're going to jump to a conclusion on what he said, especially if you didn't hear the context. If you didn't hear anything else, I am shocked that you, just hearing him, didn't think there was either an ulterior motive or a message. I mean,
I'm willing to say I was naive if you thought I was being naive.
Not there might naive because you would have been right.
Well, there might be something. Well, yeah, but still, there might be something subconsciously where I'm trying to hold on to this thing without getting it into a mess. I mean, there's been plenty of people saying that this quarterback search is a mess. And I go, is it really a mess? They just haven't said that Joe Flacco is the guy right off. But I think common sense said that he was the guy. If you were under the assumption that Joe was going to be the starter for the season, I don't think it's a mess. But I'm just holding on, like, is it a mess yet? Have they made it a mess yet? So in my want to not make it a mess, am I overlooking some cues? Now, he explained it pretty well in the post. That's where I would take it.
Why
there, yes.
Why is the video put out without the question then? Because it's not that much harder to rewind another 7 seconds and put the question out there.
Oh, there's a good line. They're seizing.
It's a good line.
Okay. It was the NFL, well, here, right?
It was the NFL. That's my point. It wasn't random guy. It wasn't McNeil. It wasn't, you know, your normal Browns fan that is putting it out there. This was the NFL that put that out there. I'm on the video right now. It's got almost 2 million views from the NFL.
Yeah.
Not from anyone else. Not from the Browns.
And by the way, most of those people will never see that it was clarified. No one will ever Correct. See the full context.
Correct.
Like, they went to bed last night, 2 days later, going, oh, did you see the Browns? They got quarterbacks feuding. That's just what it's going to be.
I mean, that's their job. I mean, the NFL, he's not, this is crazy to say, he is not an entertainer. He's a competitor. The NFL is all about entertainment. That's an entertaining quote. There's entertainers and there's competitors, and my job is to compete. That's what the NFL put out on their Twitter account, and they quoted Dylan Gabriel. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what the NFL wants.
And it's incredible because it's the most inopportune, unintentional slip. Like, he didn't make a mistake or anything like that, but it was something that could be confused as these guys don't like each other.
Yeah.
And so the Browns, who are never going to get the benefit of the doubt, they just never are. That may be a little bit here in Cleveland, but they're never going to get the benefit of the doubt around the country. It's going to be perceived as circus. It's a disaster. When I watch First Take, they're talking about Shador and are the Browns sabotaging him? Has he been held hostage?
That'd be interesting.
Like, this
today
is where people who have taken this all in nationally are going to jump to that conclusion.
You think a show like that will? You think a show like that will leave the context out today?
I think maybe they will show that there was a quote controversy, but come on, they got to have some journalistic integrity.
Is that show more interested in entertainment, or is that show more interested in competing?
They're interested in entertainment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So you've seen two preseason games now. You've seen two different quarterbacks. You've seen two different rookie quarterbacks. You've seen Gabriel. You've seen Sanders.
I haven't seen the guys I really want to see.
I know. And hopefully that's this week, right?
I hope so.
Well, I thought that Kevin really alluded to it after the game, saying that we're going to see the starters on Saturday for the only home game, 1 o'clock against the Rams. And again, you'll be able to listen to that game right here on 92.3 The Fan. So, which one looked better? I mean, I know we've... I thought
they both had good moments, and I thought they both had a couple of things that they'd like to have back.
Do you want to... I'll put you on the spot. Who's the
number? Go ahead.
And we saw this on ESPN today, and nowhere have I seen ever that Sanders has been the number three quarterback on any depth chart, or even just heard anybody say Sanders is three. It always appeared to be that Gabriel was the three and Sanders is the four. And yet, as we were watching that, and we both kind of looked at each other like, oh, that was kind of weird. It said, did Gabriel pass Sanders for the number three spot? And I was like,
that's not the way they've been listed. So it doesn't really matter, truly. I mean, what matters is who's your one, who's your two. That's what matters here. And if one of the rookies isn't going to be the two, then hopefully, and I mean this sincerely, I hope they can keep them both and develop them. And I hope one of them becomes a really good quarterback. And then if one does, I hope the other one follows. Because then, I mean, that's a position that this franchise has struggled with like crazy. Why wouldn't we want an abundance of quarterbacks? You get two or three,
because
you can trade one.
We want one great
quarterback.
That's
great.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Then let's get a couple of others that can play, and you can trade one if you need to. I mean,
that's the Patriot way,
Andy,
isn't it?
We still don't have one. Let's keep that in mind.
Right.
We still don't have one quarterback. So I don't think we should be worrying too much about who's the third string and who's the fourth string, or even who's the second string. Let's find one and get that guy going, and then we go from there. And, you know, hope. Ideally, to me, it's Kenny Pickett or Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel. And I hope that one of those guys is the starting quarterback. And if it's not, and if it's Joe Flacco, well, good for Joe. Nobody could beat him out. I think that's bad for the franchise, but I because I would just love to see a young guy have a chance to maybe be the guy.
Dan, do you have that list in front of you? Do you have that? Who's the three? Who's the four? Did we learn that over the last two games?
Just to the naked eye, I don't know if we did. I don't know what they're seeing inside of that building.
They both did a nice job.
Yeah,
come on.
I know we're sitting here, but I do think that people want to say, look, there's no question Sanders is number three. And again, only in Cleveland are we debating the third and the fourth quarterback on a team. And some people will say that your fourth quarterback should be your starter because they want to see what he looks like.
There were things that Dylan Gabriel did in that game that were really impressive. I thought he read the field really well. I thought it seemed like he had more on his plate when it comes to command of an offense and that kind of stuff. I thought that's what it looked like. Again, to the naked eye. Nothing against Shedeur. Shedeur threw a lot of really nice passes. He threaded the needle on that touchdown pass as well. But it felt, you know, like watching a different style of offense compared to what Dylan Gabriel was quarterbacking.
I think my fear is that they do trade Pickett or they trade Flacco, and then whoever that is gets hurt week one or week two. I don't want them to put Gabriel or Sanders in the DTR's position. I just don't want to see. And that is my ultimate fear, is that somehow, some way, within the first 3 weeks of the season, one of these rookies has to start and it walks into a game with like probably no reps, the way DTR did going up against the Ravens. Fans are absolutely on fire. It's a home game, and all of a sudden the game starts and you're like, oh, this guy's just not ready. And I don't care if that's Gabriel or Sanders, either one. I that's the one thing I don't want to see. I don't want to repeat a DTR.
Okay.
I mean, the way you avoid
that. I'll save my thought.
No, give me your thought. I mean, that's why we're here. Yeah.
As I said, the way you avoid a DTR type of situation is you make sure that this guy has enough time to know what's going on and enough time to read a defense and has seen how fast the NFL game is up close and make sure that they have time to develop, which is what all rookie quarterbacks should do, and not just get launched into the fire and hope for the best.
All right. Jeff, hold that thought then. Right. LeVon.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you, man?
Hi, LeVon.
I'm doing all right.
What do you think?
Well, we will know if we have a quarterback by the end of the season. I'm thinking it's going to be Joe Flacco as far as the starting, but Sanders would be good. But this is a good theory. If we can't get a quarterback in the draft, maybe Miami, or we get enough quarterbacks, we might can bring the welcome back Baker Mayfield.
You ready to bring Baker Mayfield back? I just haven't seen that happening.
He signed.
And by the way, I don't think Baker ever wants to come back. Let's be honest.
We can get Manny if we can.
Yeah, I don't know that Manning's coming out. All the word on the street is he's staying in for another season. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Liam is in Rochester, New York. Liam, how are you?
I'm well. It's William.
Oh, William. How are you, William?
I'm doing decent. I appreciate it.
No worry. Sorry about that.
That's fair. Thank you guys for taking the call.
You got it.
I'm going to say this really quickly, and I hope it comes out as coherently as I'm thinking about it. But I'm kind of just frustrated with the whole analysis of the two quarterbacks, the rookies there. Looking at the game, I know that NFL teams average about 12, 13 possessions a game. Mm-hmm. And they score on maybe four or five of those possessions. And the way Dylan Gabriel is being trained to play NFL quarterback, he's going to take what the defense is giving him, right? And that's fair. That's fine. But the defense is going to give you completions from the 20 to the 20 underneath. They're going to give you field goals because you're going to score on four or five possessions. That's 15 points. And in the NFL, you have to take touchdowns. So you have to take the throws that they're not trying to give you. And that's where you need arm talent, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm a little, I'm kind of weary of the whole analysis of it because the Cleveland Browns have had Stefan Stefanski. This is his sixth year, and the real issue hasn't been quarterback. The real issue is not one aspect of the team has been good consistently. You haven't had good special teams consistently, haven't had good offense consistently, haven't had good defense consistently.
You're
none
saying
of the phases.
All three together? Is that what you're saying, all three together?
I would take one.
Well, I mean, when Prefer was here, the special teams was pretty good. And that's nothing against Bubba, but I thought he did a nice job. Flacco had a nice stretch there of, what, five, six games. And then they decided to go in the other direction because they wanted to force Deshaun back on the field because they're paying him all that money. I understand. And by the way, prior to that, the defense, and you can make the argument that when Flacco was playing really well, it was and winning, it was because of the defense too. So I see what you're saying. I just see it in micro doses while you're looking at macro doses, which is fine.
Well, no, what you just did is made my point for me because you
go ahead.
Just highlighted three different times and three different, just different aspects of it that were okay. They were never great. Things that were okay or serviceable at different times.
Sure.
But the top coaches in the NFL, they hang their hats on certain things. They're staples that'll be a part of their tenure there. You look at the Andy Reid's and, you know, they're going to get good offensive play even if all the receivers are down. They're going to be solid, right? The guy in Buffalo, his defense is going to play well even when there's a lot of turnover there. They're going to play well defensively. I mean, do you – what is the Kevin Stefanski staple? What is he hanging his hat on?
I want to say quarterback. And William, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. I want to say when you ask that question, it's quarterback and offensive play.
It's running the ball.
Yeah, and I
controlled offense and
not making mistakes.
It went south last year when they tried to cater to Deshaun Watson. And that's they got away from what Kevin Stefanski does. They never should have done that.
I can't argue that point at all. It looked like they were trying to
square peg round hole.
Exactly. And you know, let's not forget.
And then they tried to make it fit and it didn't work with the rest of the team. And it just didn't work.
Yeah, I mean even Andy Reid had to leave Philadelphia at some point, right? So it's not always I wonder what Kevin might look like in job number two, if that's what's going to happen next. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that to happen. I don't know. Maybe it's the framework around Kevin or what's trying to happen. I also don't know who's calling all the shots and how that mind? Why can't I remember that again? Help me, Dan.
Hive Mind?
No. It's the Thought Process Partners.
Oh, Thought Partners. Yes,
Thought
yes.
Partners. Yes. I don't know how well Thought
Paul's
Partners.
An incredible thought partner.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and I don't know that Andy Reid needs a thought partner.
The problem.
Borg? You thinking like the Borg?
Well, yes.
The problem that the Browns have had under Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski has been the inconsistency. How do you go from winning 11 games to winning 3? How do you do that? And they have to get more consistent.
Hazmat's in Atlanta. Hi, Hazmat.
Nice suit.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. We're good. I got about a minute. Sorry, I could have taken the next second. Okay. I got about a minute. Sorry.
Okay, so I do want to start with the point that I don't think either rookie should start this year.
Okay.
And I'm not here to down one over the other. But if all things are equal, if both rookies can play, me personally, I would lean towards Sanders only because Sanders is going to bring what more to the team than Dylan if he's playing. Just like when the ticket sales went up for a preseason game or we'll get more prime time. If Sanders is playing, if both of them can play, there's nothing against Dylan Gabriel. If both can play, Sanders should be the choice because of what all of the extra stuff. And I know a businessman of an owner that has them is he knows what I'm talking about.
What Johnny Manziel was here, right? That's your example, right? Johnny Manziel was here.
No, I didn't bring up Johnny because I didn't want Johnny to play.
Well, no, I'm just saying, if you're talking about from the marketing standpoint, Johnny was a success. Yeah. That was successful to bring him in from a marketing standpoint, never once on the football field. So.
Right, but we know that Sanders can do it on the football field. I'm saying if he can play, from a marketing standpoint, he's the better option.
Hazmat, I agree with you. Good point. All right, let's come back. We're going to bring in Scott Petrak from the Chronicle-Telegram. Let's see his perspective on what we've got with this Browns football team through preseason game number 2. It's all coming up. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Did you like that youth football talk during the break there, Tone? You like that, babe?
Listen, huh? Thursdays are not... You just had Urban Meyer on. You're going to tell those kids it's going to be an easy practice after you had Urban Meyer on?
What did I tell you? I said, at my practice today, I will be playing a snippet of Urban Meyer about where he talks about you can't half-ass things. We are definitely playing that.
You've
got to
show him. First of all, the first thing you got to show him is Jimmy Johnson telling the documentarian, whoever's doing the interview, like, yeah, I got rid of my wife, 27 years. I had to commit to football. So he's living alone.
Buddy, if you're divorcing your wife just because you have to go coach the Dallas Cowboys, you don't like her that much in the first place.
Well, you're looking make history, for a reason. You want to take a team that was 1-15 and turn them around? That's how you do it. You get rid of the wife. That's number one. So are you prepared to do it over the dog incident today?
No, Teddy. It wasn't my wife's fault. It was the dog's fault. Liz cleaned my feet like she was Jesus.
Like Mary Magdalene.
Like the Super Bowl commercial. No. Okay, so if you're not willing to get rid of your wife, the other part of this documentary is... A dude goes down from the 1-15, or the team before that, which was terrible, the year before. This dude goes down, and he tells Jimmy Johnson they got it all on camera. It's amazing how much of their training camp was on camera. We can't do anything these days. Jimmy Johnson just let, and Jerry Jones just let cameras everywhere. And guys are mic'd up. Guy goes down in practice, and he goes, Coach, I got asthma. And he goes, nope, you're getting over there where all the asthma guys are.
No.
And then he cut him.
No.
The guy's in the truck and the reporters are showing him leave. He got cut there and then.
I got to see this documentary. I went to watch it yesterday and things came up and I couldn't do it. That reminds me of the Limpy Gimpy story. So get ready for Central Catholic. Joe George, great running back for Perry, goes down in goal line on that Thursday, and I'm standing there on crutches, and Joe comes up a little lame, and all of a sudden Keith Wakefield looks over, and he sees us, and for whatever reason, he just goes, get these limpy dippies off my field. You're giving my players ideas. And I had to crutch off the field, and it was such a long crutching off.
It would have taken forever.
You Perry Panthers down there, as you get ready to take on Central tonight, you guys enjoy the build-out that you have from the stadium to the school. It was a mile long from the locker room then. I had to crutch the whole way, sweat my ass off. So embarrassing. And no, I didn't give a tomahawk chop there either. Moving on.
The limpy gimpy chop.
Just kind of like pawing.
The arguments that you guys are all having is going to mean nothing soon. You guys are all upset about the depth chart. I mean, I feel I got to tell you guys something. Ain't going to mean nothing. Because I have to be unrealistic but realistic. Let me tell you this. Shedeur Sanders, we had Urban Meyer on earlier this morning. This is what Urban Meyer said. The three-time national champion, this is what he had to say about one Shedeur Sanders.
I loved watching him. We covered at Big Noon, we covered him for Deion's, I think, first three games, and he turned around a program that was a train wreck, and you don't do that without Shedeur Sanders. I saw a player that can get out of trouble, lead a team, has really all the skill set to be successful, and so I think there's a lot of substance there. you know, as a backup quarterback, they don't want all the media attention on that one player. You know, all coaches want team, 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 no distraction. If you're asking the question, can he do it? I don't think there's any doubt he can do it. You know, it all depends on what's around him. But if you're talking about a skill set, great leadership, a quality person that I really enjoyed watching, I'm a Shedeur Sanders fan.
Mark Schlereth, you've heard that name before. Didn't have great things to say about Jerry Jeudy in the past, but had amazing things yesterday on Afternoon Drive to say about a one Shedeur Sanders and a comparison he made. Stink says,
all the things you hear about Shedeur, like, well, he lacks supreme athletic ability and he lacks arm talent. And, you know, and all the things that scouts put their finger on that don't really matter, all the stuff that we evaluate has nothing to do with whether you can play or not. He's deadly accurate. He's got great touch. And when you watch him in that first preseason game, the thing that I loved, and I mean loved, is his ability to slide and his movement skills in the pocket and still being able to create space, not eyeballing the rush, but feeling the rush and developing and throwing it downfield. And he threw a touchdown that way. I used to say it all the time, and I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady, but I used to say about Tom Brady all the time, was Tom Brady's the best scrambler in football, and he never leaves the pocket. And that's what I want out of my quarterback. And those things, accuracy and his ability to slide and have feel in the pocket, pocket presence, those things are exceptional with Shedeur Sanders.
Man, I know all you guys are having fights and blocking each other on social media over Shedeur Sanders and over this damn depth chart. I'm going to tell you right now, this depth chart don't mean a damn thing. It don't mean anything. It means as less as anything has mattered to the Cleveland Browns. And print it. Record it. I gotta stand by it. I gotta stand by it by the end of the year. And if I'm wrong, I don't think I'm gonna be. If I'm wrong, I'll eat it on that one too. Because I'm telling you right now, there ain't no way a guy where people are lining up, coaches, football guys, lining up to say good things about this fella, they're just gonna let him rot fourth on the depth chart on this football team. He ain't getting cut. And he's going to play this year. I don't know when, but he's going to play. You cannot tell me going into next year that we're going to go and get ready for another season, another possible quarterback without giving this guy with this ceiling a chance. I can't say the same for Dillon Gabriel. I'm not trying to be, oh, Shedeur this, Shedeur that. Boys, I'm just telling you exactly how it is. Part of it's entertainment. Part of it's business. That ain't a shot at Dillon Gabriel. Don't take it that way. I'm just telling you, and you guys know exactly how this is. You're going to see Shedeur Sanders on that field this year. It's going to happen. There is no way that, and I'm not even talking about ownership. I'm not talking about selling jerseys or anything like that. I could, but I won't. You're telling me a guy with that type of ceiling ain't going to play on the field this year if the Browns are bad. If Joe Flacco's good and the Browns are good, no, he won't see the field. That's true. But if the season goes the way we think it's going to go, which guys are fighting each other over six wins, what a standard we're setting this season. If it's going to go that way and be about a six-win season out of 17 games, that young man's playing for this football team, and we're going to get ourselves an eyeful. It's just a question of how much before I can go, we're moving on, that's it. Because you've asked about Shedeur's future, and I'm thinking, man, we have spent a lot of time fighting. And it depends on what day anybody listens. One day the Shedeur fans who pop in hate us. The other day they love us. The next day they'll hate us again. The other day they might be ambivalent because we're talking about the Guardians. But I'm going to tell you this right now. If we're getting ready for next year, he could end up being the backup quarterback for this football team if he's able to process the offense, if he's able to do those things and be that big of a player. Or, damn it, they might find a situation where he starts the season and we could find ourselves doing this all over again for the entire month of August next year about Cade Klubnik or Lenora Sellers or X, Y, and Z.
And those guys will be first-round
Sanders.
Picks.
And those guys are going to be first-round picks.
And whoever ends up taking them, if it's this regime or the next, I mean, that's what the organization is going to be about. So even if he ends up getting in next year or were to start the season next year, he's on borrowed time. And so that's why when I
have to see it.
Yeah, when I ask the questions about Shedeur's future, it is why I'm paying attention to the Kenny Pickett situation. Because if Kenny Pickett is still here and all of this is just biding time for Kenny Pickett to be the starting quarterback, which, again, roll your eyes if you want. There seems to be some smoke there that these guys want Kenny Pickett to be the starter. So that just delays this thought, maybe the inevitable of what Kenny says, but it just delays Shedeur getting out there. And then what is
what is the time frame for Shador? If he's going to have a long career in the NFL, it involves him having to play football this year, right?
I would think. Because I don't know if he's going to be able to play on Saturday. I want to find out more this afternoon. You'll be able to hear all the press conference stuff, 92.3 The Fan, your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football. I'd like to think he's going to be able to play on Saturday, but he was limited yesterday, so we'll find out how that one goes. Kenny Pickett ain't going to play on Saturday. So you might have a Flacco, Gabriel, Sanders, maybe even Tyler Huntley situation. If it just is Flacco, Gabriel, Tyler Huntley, I'll watch Flacco and Gabriel. I'll watch Tyler Huntley because it's the Browns, but I'm obviously not going to be thinking much of it. But I can't believe, and I know that some people go, man, you guys are wasting everybody's time with this fourth guy on the depth chart, and he's a fifth-round pick, and I'm like, he's not any of those things. He's not any of those things. The question that you had asked about Urban Meyer, I mean, comparing him to Tim Tebow, Tim Tebow was a wildly overdrafted player in the first round who also had a very, very, very strong following. And he obviously got opportunities to play that right now Shador Sanders isn't. But if the season goes the way it's going to go, there ain't no doubt about it in my mind. Come hell or high water, you're going to see him play in a meaningful football game in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns. And it's on Kevin to be able to put an offense together that's going to be able to help him out, and we're going to see what we have there. And then we might go with a full-throated endorsement of Shador Sanders, which is probably not likely. Probably not likely. I would say the chances of Shador Sanders going into 2026 as the starting quarterback to be maybe somewhere, if I'm being generous, 20% at the end of the year, and then you would go to a rookie QB to be generous. You're probably taking a QB next year. The whole thing for Shador is, can he be the backup on this football team if you were to take a rookie then? I mean, that's the most likely outcome. I'd like Shador to change that. It's going to be up to them. But, man, the more we sit here and grind our gears over it, I go, guys, what are we talking about? The guy's a star. I don't know what to do with Dylan Gabriel. I know he plays fine enough football. I don't know. I wouldn't call it a clean sheet like one of our guys did here. Oh, which, by the way, I accidentally called Jimmy Horn Jr. Joe Horn Jr. I'm sorry. They played in the same color scheme, one in pros, one in college. I accidentally messed it up. I'm sorry. There's parts of my brain that alcohol even can't reach. So it tended to happen that way. Good God. I beat up like crazy about that a couple of afternoons ago. Either way, there's no doubt about it that you're going to see him. It's just how much am I going to see him where I can make a proper judgment? That's the biggest question, I think, to a Browns fan right now. If you were looking for a quarterback competition, Andy, I threw this out before it ever started. My hope was that Kenny Pickett or one of the rookies was just so head and shoulders above everybody else that he would be the starting quarterback. Because I'm kind of looking down the road. I'm hoping that the Browns could find somebody this year who they think might be able to be their guy for an extended period of time. That's the main reason that I haven't wanted Joe Flacco to get this gig. But I think the quarterback competition in and of itself was a failure because Pickett got hurt, so that's out. Dylan Gabriel dinged up enough that he wasn't able to play in game one, and then Shador didn't play in game two, and it just didn't seem to come off very well to me. And it ends up with Joe Flacco being the starter. And I hope he's great week one. I hope that's wonderful. I hope he plays well all season long if he's the starter. But to me, the whole quarterback competition just turned into a big dud.
I think the quarterback competition wasn't a dud. I think that if you ask anyone what the biggest argument is in town, it's whether you like Gabriel or Sanders. And so it all depends on where you look. And, you know, the great Larry David said life is a matter of perspective. And I think we all have a kind of a different perspective on this. I do think that Joe Flacco won the job. I don't know that he had to be super impressive to win the job. And by the way, we're all going to have tape to see him this week to see how good he is. And so it could add fuel to the fire as you move forward into the season saying, oh my God, what are the Browns doing? Depending on how much Flacco actually plays this week against the Rams, a game you can hear right here on 92.3 The Fan.
Do you think he needs to play in the preseason, though, for anybody to have an idea of who he is? I don't think so.
No, but I do think that he could ease your mind a little bit about this season if he goes out there and he looks terrific. If the first team offense looks terrific against the Rams, or efficient. The bar in this game is efficient to excellent. If it's anything less than efficient, then I think fans are going to be calling on Monday morning going, I don't understand why Sanders isn't starting. I don't understand why Gabriel isn't starting. Both those guys look better in the preseason. But I will tell you, the preseason, and we all know this, but forget about it while we're in the middle of watching it, it is an optical illusion. How many times have you watched the preseason, got to that first game of the year, and then said, wow, that don't look anything like they did in the preseason. What was I thinking? Happens all the time.
Well, that's because they don't show what they're really going to do, and defenses don't show what they're really going to do.
And they're not playing anybody. Either team isn't really playing anybody.
Nothing Flacco can do on Saturday will affect my opinion one way or the other. I mean, Joe's a real competent pro. I just don't know that he's a winning quarterback in the NFL anymore.
If he looks bad, it's going to change your opinion. I can't imagine.
It won't, Andy. I've seen Joe Flacco play for 17 years.
Okay.
I don't need one preseason half against the Rams.
You put the 40-year-old stigma on him.
Well, I saw him last year.
Yeah, why are we putting a 40-year-old quarterback
I've seen
there?
Him since he left Baltimore. I think he's okay. My point is this. If an okay quarterback is the best you have after a four-man quarterback competition, then it's a bust. And that to me is where this is. This isn't bashing Joe or anything. I think Joe's more than competent. But I was so hoping that one of these young guys would look really, really good and get you excited about, hey, maybe we have somebody here. And that still might happen. I mean, it's a 17-game season.
The only part of the story that's a bust is the fact that we didn't get to see Flacco and Pickett compete. That, to me, was the big disappointment
of
the preseason.
Exactly right.
That's the bust.
That's exactly right. However, in the back of my mind, and it was in the back, I was hoping that, hey, is one of these guys Russell Wilson, who's going to show up in Seattle and beat out Matt Flynn after the Seahawks signed Matt Flynn to a free agent contract, assuming he'd be the starter, that one of the rookies would just clearly look better than everybody else. That didn't happen. And that's okay. That's okay, because I think it's a stretch for guys who weren't, you know, upper echelon first round picks to do that. That said, I wouldn't be stunned if one of them is the starting quarterback by the end of the season. I just think right now, to me anyway, the whole thing is very disappointing, because I was so hoping that somebody whose age started with a 2, and that's not about Joe's playing ability, it's about the future of the position for the Browns, that one of those guys would be the guy, and we'd get a really good look at a young guy and figure out, could this be the guy on an extended period?
I hope, and you know, you like looking at the long term on this thing. The best long term point that I think we've seen from the Browns so far is the fact that if Gabriel or Sanders is to be the quarterback somewhere down the road.
Or Pickett.
All right, I'll give you Pickett too. If they are, it's actually, this is more about Gabriel and Sanders than it is Pickett. If Gabriel or Sanders is to be the long-term starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, they're not throwing them into the fire. They're giving them the opportunity to gradually, Eric Wedge, ramp up into the season ramp up into their career.
I get that.
And you know, I always look at the Green Bay formula where, hey, you've got a good quarterback, let him go out there. But that's why I always say that I want Flacco to have this job as long as things are going in the right direction. When it doesn't work and it isn't working, it's going to be time to say goodbye to Joe again.
So you're right about the development thing, Andy, and because under normal circumstances, that's the situation. But that's why I was hoping for a Russell Wilson, you know, somebody who surprised you because he looked so effective that you had to start this guy. I was hoping for that with either Gabriel or Sanders. It didn't matter which one. I don't care. But I was hoping for that. We didn't see that yet. You know, if Flacco is terrific and can play the rest of the year, great. But, you know, I've seen Joe in situations with not real good football teams, not bad football teams, but some of them weren't terrific, since he left Baltimore. And he's looked okay. He hasn't looked great. And That's why I was hoping somebody would beat him out. Nobody did.
But
nobody
did. The other thing is, I mean, like we're making. I mean, I know you've got to. If you're going to keep all four on the roster, then this point makes sense. What I mean, we are basing all of our information on a little three quarters of one game and three quarters. I mean, they're really on two rookies that we're basing our information. The sample size is minuscule. It's minuscule.
Yes,
it is.
But they're basing their decision on what they see in practice as well.
No, and still, even if you're talking about practice, I'm talking about practice.
No,
it's still minuscule.
I get that. But again, my point, I was hoping that somebody would pull a Russell Wilson.
But the fans are also making their decision, and we are too. Let's not hide from that. That we're making our decision based on what we saw on television in two games. And it's like, I'm really, we're going to determine a quarterback's future in one game and decide, oh man, you know, Sanders is the best quarterback I've ever seen in the red zone. And oh man, Gabriel can really be great on third down. Or, the offense. I mean, we're talking about one game against another team that wasn't playing their starters in both cases.
Andy, I don't.
I know Sanders got one against the Carolina.
Not to completely disagree with you. I'm not basing an opinion on anything. I don't have one on this. My thought was I wanted the coaching staff to think somebody was clearly better than Joe Flacco. They clearly don't think that right now. That to me is why this is a disappointment.
You know, I'm
not going to sit here and say Gabriel should start because I don't think he should, and I'm going to tell you Sanders should start because I don't think he should. I don't think either one of those guys is quite ready yet. I was hoping Pickett would clearly get the chance to beat out Joe Flacco. He didn't do it. And what we've seen of Gabriel and Sanders makes me think not quite there yet. Could be by midseason, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But I was hoping Pickett would beat him out. Or I was hoping Gabriel or Sanders would look so good that they beat him out. Clearly didn't happen.
I can also tell you this, that from an entertainment standpoint, and it's fine that Gabriel said that, the guy who's the most fun to want to start is Sanders. Like, I can't even, I don't see any other quarterback that would, like, as a fan, I think Sanders is fun.
Andy, some people are entertainers and some are competitors.
That's right. But the story itself, you guys are laughing. The story
I got
itself,
the look from Minigan.
The story itself is a great story. Like,
well, but
look, you're talking about a guy that, you know, some people thought he was going to be one of the best quarterbacks coming to the college draft. Every team passed on him. He ended up in the fifth round. He came back out. He hasn't complained boo about where he's at,
nope.
At least publicly.
He's been terrific.
You know, he's been great at camp. He did what you asked him to do in the one preseason game that you played him. Everyone's sitting here looking at him like he's the number four quarterback. And God forbid,
which he is on the depth chart.
Yeah, and God forbid he walks out on the field against the Bengals. It starts. I'm not saying that this is going to happen, and looks good and helps the team win game one. Just story wise,
that's a fine storyline, Andy.
He's the best storyline there is on this team. He is
first round draft choice in a bad draft. Goes to the team where he just trained right next door. And they loved him, and they embraced him, and then they kicked his butt right out after two seasons, despite the fact that he won 60% of his starts. And he went and won a Super Bowl ring.
And they
ring.
Had a defense, too.
He went and won a Super Bowl ring.
He could only play half the game.
And he comes to Cleveland with a chance to be the man, the first quarterback in. Then they bring in three others, and he gets hurt. But he comes back in the final preseason game, lights it up against the Rams, and is the starting quarterback in week one. Redemption written all over Kenny Pickett. There's that storyline.
Yeah, and let me tell you the difference. You're PBS, and I'm Fox. I'm fun to watch. People are coming to me left and right. You're asking me for money during the commercials. That's the difference.
You know what's fun to watch?
Winning football.
Thank you very much.
I wore the same page.
There's the 5'10" quarterback, left-hander from Hawaii. Who plays football in Hawaii and makes it in the NFL? Not very many. And then they bring in Shedeur Sanders, the hype machine, after they draft him in the third round. But in week one against the Cincinnati Bengals, he is on the field as the starting quarterback. Oh, my God, what a storyline that is.
And that's on WB because nobody gets that channel. No one really wants to talk about it.
And then there's this channel. Yeah, there's Joe Flacco, 9-19 since he left the Ravens. He's starting. He's 40.
And that's CBS. old, traditional, stable. You know you're going to get a decent show. It's going to be all right.
Chime in. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps.
The Browns are the easy way, never mentioned in the same breath together, unless you listen to what Ryan Clark had to say on ESPN about the Browns and the Joe Flacco decision.
They just didn't want to make a hard decision, right? The figuring out who's going to be number two is going to be a difficult decision. It would have been a much harder decision to figure out which one of those young men would start. And Joe Flacco is what you know. It's the stability that you trust. I think this team will be okay, but I still think this team finds itself in a position where they're going to have to figure out who their franchise quarterback is, whether it's this season or next offseason. And Joe Flacco gets you no closer to that, and also no closer to winning a Super Bowl.
So there's a lot that he said there at the end that we can dissect quickly or however. But I just got to get to the idea of, I don't mean this in a bad way. He is right. The easiest solution was, well, we don't want to make a misstep with one of the other three quarterbacks. Let's go with Joe early and let's just see where it goes from there.
Well, and you get a little bit of a, maybe even a Peterlin pass of sorts by a lot of people in the area because the first six games are so tough, Nick. And so I feel like no one with the announcement of Joe Flacco is saying that the Browns are handling this in a poor way or the wrong way. But we will be able to rewrite that story if he, in fact, does start off slowly or if, in fact, the season does just completely crater.
But to what he's saying, when he says easy way, there is a connotation there. And I do share some of that a little bit. Like, listen, none of us, not even the Browns for certain, know how NFL ready Dylan or Shador are.
Right.
And I'm not going to be pounding the table for Kenny Pickett. I didn't believe in him in Pittsburgh. I didn't believe in him at Pitt when
I
watched him.
Pickett definitely wouldn't have been an easy decision. Pickett would have been, we are trying to win. They're trying to do their Sam Darnold, their version of it. That's not an easy decision.
I think it is if you've spent the entire offseason propping it up that way.
No, because you get killed if you don't get that right. That's the difference there. Like if you prop up Kenny Pickett and he's the same thing he was with Matt Canada, you get destroyed for that.
I mean, it's the NFL. You're going to get killed for no matter what.
Well, I think that's what Ryan Clark is saying, though, is that you're not getting killed and you're not going to get killed with Joe Flacco.
You're only going to get killed if it doesn't work out.
Even if it doesn't work out, you still have the excuse of, all right, he's 40 years old, but we went with the quarterback that looked the best in camp and gave us a good chance to win because he's been doing that for 20 years.
See, but I think that's the context we use in real time. People conveniently, or maybe it's just coincidentally, forget that context by the time the failure comes around.
And it's going to be frustrating as hell if they start 1-5 or 0-6, and we get a bunch of calls of people saying, it never made sense to start a 40-year-old quarterback, you idiots. And we'll be like, all right.
Except Jeff Phelps. But there is something to me like...
Well, yeah, he'd be the one. Colossal failure. He gets the call on that.
There is a part of me that... one of the things I struggle with is, and again, I have no problem with Joe starting. I'm actually excited to see if they can surprise people and make me look like a fool. If that's the worst thing that happens this year is Joe Flacco catches fire like he did in 2023, you're back in the playoffs and I look like an idiot. Oh, I'm beyond happy for that. However, if we get into you're in the business of changing the future of this team, is the Joe Flacco move, is it the most conservative move? Meaning, it might pay off some. It's also not going to kill you some, but let's focus more on that. It's not going to pay off huge dividends. Yeah. Like, I think the general consensus is it's Joe's season until it's not. And that could be week 4. That could be week 6. That could be week 9.
Yeah.
And the earlier they pull the plug on the Joe thing, meaning the less body of work that they have or the less amount of wins, whatever it is, the more it's going to look like, well, was this really set up all for the rookies in the first place? And if so, did you maybe hedge your bets by starting Joe for any amount of time you could have played
a rookie? And the problem we're going to run into is if you only get to play one rookie in back of Joe Flacco. Mm-hmm. That's the problem we're going to run into.
Unless it's for a good reason.
Well, yeah, if it's Shador and then Shador's awesome, then no one will think twice about Dylan Gabriel not getting reps. But if it's Dylan out of the chute and he just looks like a backup quarterback, but he continues to play these games, then I think people like myself are going to wonder.
I know she didn't say if Dylan starts and he looks excellent.
It's not really in my register right now. I'm not really accounting for Dylan being awesome.
My comment.
I'm open to it, but I'm not really accounting for
My comment earlier where I said, I think Dylan looked like the max version of what he's going to be able to do, and Shador didn't. That has gotten quite a few bits of reaction on social media, and I think people are hearing it maybe not the way I intended.
But let's go with whatever's catching fire off. Let's leave that alone until tomorrow. We got the win out of that one. Let's swerve into the win. Well, no, whatever win that actually
aren't
is.
Aren't I putting it on the table again, this one, by clarifying?
I don't know. It feels like the one that Keith came in between the break, you know, me stacking up and saying the quarterbacks matter and everything. And I got a lot of hits on YouTube last night. And if you read the comment section, people think we're the show for Shador right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense because you are.
A lot of people thanked us for being the only truth tellers in Cleveland sports media.
Which will work out, which I will not fight if after the fact Shador ends up being really good. I'll be like, we were both on it the whole time.
And people wrongly were like, this is the journalism we always needed. I'm like, I got to tell you a million times, we're not journalists.
No, I am a journalist. If you agree with what I say.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
If you disagree, we just swerve into these things.
You're a hater.
Yeah, we'll just swerve into these things. But, okay, so what did you mean? What did you mean when you were saying that?
Was like that to me, like, Dylan Gabriel has to be flawless within his efficiency in third and second, whereas if your run game falters or the O-line falters or the defense isn't great, those third and twos are going to become third and fives, and he's not going to be as good. Like, Dylan only really works in this context for even a short amount of time if he has the perfect confluence of events around him, a la like the Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I knew you were going there with Brock.
I think he's like a bankrupt version of Brock, because I think Brock is a mid-starter, and that was like the nicest thing I can say.
I think people took what you said, implying that basically Dylan's going to be a backup quarterback, and that's his ceiling and that's his height.
Well,
I think that's how I responded in the video, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, did you? I didn't see that one.
What do you mean?
I only saw my part.
When I started talking, did you stop?
I was like, well, is there a fly there? No, I'm kidding.
Jeez.
I'm kidding. Okay. But no, I think my point is like, okay, when you watch Shador, you're like, oh, if you clean that up, and he plays with an energy that is, I think, palpable when you watch him on tape or whether you watch him in the preseason game. With Dylan, like, Dylan looked exactly like I thought he would look. Like, there's nothing like to be left to the imagination. But would it have been more of a put him on the table moment if you had started Dylan? Yeah. And if you give Joe 4 weeks, he goes 2-2, and then you bring in Dylan, I'm going to be asking, why the hell didn't you start him in week one?
It's a hard decision to have started Shador or Dylan. But if you had started Dylan and he had absolutely floundered, people would have thought you wrecked him already and you got rid of a third round pick in the process. And it would have looked really badly on Stefanski. Flacco stinking up the joint for five, six weeks, whatever that is. That's not going to kill Stefanski. In fact, you can make an argument that Stefanski then will be able to go to either Dylan or Shador as almost a reprieve. It's almost a break glass in case of emergency that could save his job if either one of them come out of the gate firing.
So maybe this is a simpler way of looking at it. Now that we've gotten through the quarterback kerfuffle, I look at this, and to go where what Ryan was saying, that this was the safe decision, I look at this, and Dylan Gabriel had about a 25% chance of claiming the job, and when he hurt his hamstring, that probably took him out of the running. Shador had none. I think that's insane. I'm not saying either guy would have won the job.
Agreed. I think that's insane too.
But I think the fact that we're saying here that, okay,
I don't think Dylan had a 25% chance either, though. I think you've always thought he had a higher chance than I did.
I think they were giving him a real chance, and I think this interrupted his plans, maybe for the betterment of the Cleveland Browns, by the way.
Again, because of how hard it is to really sack up and put a rookie out there week one in general, I just don't think Stefanski's shown me no stones when it comes to that stuff anyway. I just don't think he would have done
it. But I just continue to come back to the idea of
putting him on the table.
Safe is not necessarily a pejorative to say you did something the safe way. So I do think Joe is safe in the clinical sense of, I think he gives you the best chance to win week one. This is not just about week one, though. This is about, can you grow something over 18 weeks? And by the end of the season, can you be a better franchise than you were at the beginning of the season? It's really tough if we go in thinking, hey, Joe might be here for 6 games and then it's rookie time. That's really hard to grow. And as a team, go where you want to go, you have to be flawless in the execution of that, and that's where it's not safe.
Well, but that's not their approach. That's our approach to thinking about it. But their approach is it's Joe's job until he gives us a reason to think that it isn't. And if that ends up being six games, then you just have to account for it.
The devil in the detail here is how long of a leash Joe has, and I think that will be the thing. In the same way that I had said the whole time, give me a fair quarterback battle. None of these four guys should have the advantage. If I got to give anyone slight advantage to Joe Flacco, but not a demonstrative advantage, right? And now, post the quarterback kerfuffle, I said, you didn't really do any of that. This was about Flacco. It was about Kenny Pickett. And then to some degree, it was about Dylan Gabriel. That is a flawed process. Same thing here. On the nose, yep, we're going to start with Joe and see where it goes. A lot of sense there. Like it. Unless he stacks up the first time he loses two games back to back, all of a sudden it's Dylan Gabriel standard time. Then we'll be able to say, okay, you just didn't have the scones to start Dylan Gabriel in week one.
Yeah, I think that's the answer. I don't think Stefanski has the scones, the stones, whatever you want to say, in putting them on the table to go ahead and start a rookie quarterback.
Put a lot of things on the table. We do have to get to Myles Garrett's comments today. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Myles, we've not heard a lot out of Myles since the last speeding ticket that he suffered, which I believe was at his seventh or eighth traffic-related issue in the last couple of years here in Cleveland.
Yeah, I think it was number seven.
Yeah, number seven.
Lucky right. Number 11.
Yeah, that's not one. And it was for 155 and a 60, excuse me. Now, our reaction at the time was, while this isn't great and there's certainly danger to it, and Myles is a repeat offender, the truth is, I'm mad about Isaiah Bond and Quinshon Judkins and Deshaun Watson. I'm mad about, like, the guys who are accused of things that are really, 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 really awful.
Mm-hmm.
And speeding, just, I can't get my outrage meter there. So pretty much today was perfunctory. Myles was really going to speak for the first time since this. All you have to do is come out and be like, I know I got to be better. And I keep that, you know, it was an easy, this was an IQ test today.
Mm.
Can you just say the bare minimum? The same way, by the way, Isaiah Bond did yesterday.
Yeah.
So you've spoken on it. And then I'm going to get, but you know, hey, respect the question. Here's the answer. Now, after that, let's let football be football. That's not how Miles's spot with the media went today.
Well, Myles, we have not talked to you since your last speeding incident. What is it like to be in that car and seeing that speedometer creep up toward 100?
I'd honestly rather talk about football on this team than anything I'm doing off field other than the back-to-school event that I did the other day.
But still, I mean, people want to know about that.
People want to know a lot of things, but I try to keep my personal life personal. I'd rather focus on this team when I can. I'd rather talk about something that's more, you know, focused on this team and what we're doing, what we're trying to accomplish.
I'm sorry, but this is important. So you talk about being a leader. So what kind of a leadership does that show when you get pulled over by the cops?
You're asking the same question, and I've answered it two different times. So I'm going to need you to ask a different question so I can focus on this team and not, you know, this headline you're trying to get out of this question you're asking.
Well, I got to say, that's some master Shadelling.
I love that Shadell question.
I mean, he gave you what's it like?
Sorry.
You're sitting there in the car, right? You're going, with, oh, 91, 92, 93. What's that like? Which basically tells us Jeff does not drive that fast, which makes sense. Jeff does not seem like a speed racer.
He's trying to figure out what it's like if he was part of Fast and the Furious.
He's trying like a 91, I almost said 91 Prius, a 91 Camry, like 55 and a 60. However, the second question I thought, Jeff was just point blank and to the point. I would like to point out that Myles, while saying, I'd like to keep it about football, unless we want to talk about the back to school event I did the other day, to me, this is like, hey, Dylan Gabriel was great. If we just set aside the two turnovers, it was the best I've seen a rookie quarterback play this year.
We call that the old Jake Vonick.
Yeah. Well, hey, other than my speeding tickets, let's talk about my personal life, right? I don't know. I'm so torn on this because on one hand,
I mean, Myles clearly didn't want to He doesn't want to be a liar, is I think essentially what it was. 2.5 years ago when he got in that big accident and he stood up there and said, I learned my lessons. I'm not going to do that again.
Well, he hasn't done that since.
He hasn't done that. Well, yeah. And so you realize. And so I think he knew, first off, if he came up here and said the same song and dance that he did 2.5 years ago, no one would believe him and he'd just be a liar. I also don't know if he has any plans on actually slowing down. And so like if he wanted to legitimately change, he could have came up there at the podium and said, I want to change and I want to be different and all these things. The same way he did 2.5 years ago. But I think at this point, we all just know that's just not true.
Shouldn't Miles have this one down by now, though?
Well, he's done this press conference.
You've
done this press conference, and we've all taken what you said and been like, oh, he's going to change. This is great. I think even it got so many times this has happened that it's got to a point where Miles can't even believe when he's saying it now. So he's just like, why even bother? So, in fact, I kind of respect this approach a little bit more.
I don't know.
Just not even going to bother lying to you guys because I'm not going to change. Nothing has changed. So let's just not even talk about it. So I don't have to then a year from now, if something happens again, you can throw this back in my face too.
I mean, Miles has had the most bipolar year since the end of from November of last year to now.
Yeah.
There, you could have a 30 for 30 on the many moods and the many, thoughts of Miles Garrett and what he engages in and what he doesn't. And the truth is, I think there's a chance he's just really bad at the media thing. I think he thinks of himself in a certain light, and then he just goes out there, and it either feels insincere, or he says something, and then a week later, it's proven false. Like, I will give you, there's something to be said of, I'm just not talking about that anymore.
I mean, there's times he spends on those Fridays that we have. There's times he spends 15, 20 minutes and really is pretty awesome at the media stuff. Like he's really good, I think, when he wants to be. I just think he kind of operates like some sports talk hosts do, not me or you, but other hosts where it's like, how in the moment do I want to be? And that's the only thing. And then you wake up a month later and it's completely different. And then 2 months later, it's completely different. And 3 months later, it's completely different. He just goes with the wind too much.
I just think, where was Miles when Shador was getting grilled by the media about a speeding ticket? Where was Miles interjecting and saying, hey, he's not going to talk about that?
Well, you notice how Shador, by the way, didn't take the same approach that Miles just took.
I didn't mean to give you that ability to say nice things about Shador, but it happened.
It was just on the platter.
That was a shoo-in.
Sometimes you have to take it when offered.
On one hand, again, like, I just have such higher priorities on the outrage scale. Miles speeding is not great, and there is a component of this could get very serious very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not great. It's also not top 10 in the worst things the Browns roster has currently been accused of, mm-hmm, or arrested for or sued for.
Right.
At the same point, this is a bigger story because of how Miles handled it.
Well,
right.
Yeah. And what's interesting, you're 100% right. It's a bigger story based off of the non-answers. All people wanted was for him just to say the same thing he said 2.5 years ago. And I don't know. Do you really think people, maybe I would have, because this is how I operate, do you think that many people would have been like, Miles, we heard that 2.5 years ago. I'm not believing you. Maybe I would have gone down that road. But Miles didn't even give us the chance to even entertain that.
Yeah, I mean, I just think this was, like, in a way, it's like, Miles, you just could have said the bare minimum and gotten out of this without turning it into a bigger story. Because it would be a little surprised now if this response wasn't taken to a national level, if national people didn't pick up on this, and then it becomes about Miles instead of, by the way, it should be more about football than speeding right now. Well, you just made it more about yourself.
What it sounds like to me is a person that's mad he's even being asked about it. And it sounds like to me a person that doesn't actually see the problem with going 100 miles per hour. And again, I don't care in a great deal on this. I'm not trying to get on some high horse or something and be like, you can never speed. But there's a lack of an acknowledgement that is speeding within driving has been an issue. And I you can tell in not answering it, he's frustrated that these are even questions that he has to answer because he doesn't know that he's doing anything wrong.
Slow down!
Or hire a driver.
If you don't want to get asked questions about it, don't speed. Listen, I am with the people who was like, all right, guys, we do have bigger fish to fry here, specifically on this team. But like, at the same point, if you don't like the questions, you can always change your behavior. And, like, the point is, Miles isn't a kid anymore. He's a grown man. He's going to be 30 soon. We're on the back half of his career, very likely in the NFL, probably the last 5 years of his career, somewhere in there. Like, this is part of the job. So, like, with respect, there's a lot of questions or there's a lot of comments that I think most people in a public field tend to take in that they don't care about on some level. I will say the only wrong response to somewhat serious speeding charges is, I'm not talking about that. I'm here. I'm just about football. Well, then don't drive fast. Make it easy on all of us.
You can make it easy on all of us. I wonder if he took the same energy to the Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. Because that would be interesting. Because it's not like they have much of a recourse. Everyone on the team and everyone in the front office is acknowledged.
Do you think they say
he's just awesome at football and that's why he's on this team, so we don't care about anything else, which is a fine stance to take, by the way. But it's not like Myles Garrett is... I'd be surprised now after hearing that if Myles Garrett had gone to the front office and been like, I'm so sorry. I learned my lesson. This is my mistake. I'll be better, and I'm going to be the leader you want. And it's not happening, guys.
Miles, this latest speeding thing, we got to talk about it. I'm good.
They might have even laughed about
okay.
it.
Who knows? He said he's good, guys. I mean,
honestly, he's so dismissive of it to the point where you just wonder if he... I just don't think he wants to even acknowledge that it's a problem in his life.
And here's what I will tell you. To the people, and again, my take is this is not a big deal. Miles made a big deal with his answer. So I'm not outraged by it. I honestly think his attempt at the tact on this is mildly funny in that it's just so brazen. Like, no, that's not what I'm doing. Guy who's talked about his personal life plenty times over and certainly had a big case against the organization about 9 months ago that we've all conveniently forgotten. There is a point, though, where it's like, all right, you better never do that. Because people always take speeding to, well, people get killed for reckless speeding all the time. This will be this is where you have to think ahead at your consequences about how things are going to be received. If something ever were to happen with Miles, if he had another incident like he did in Sharon Township 2 years mm-hmm. ago,
yeah.
this will be played for the rest of the time when talking about Miles for a very long time.
So it sounded like to me the non-answer right there is because he didn't want to have the I learned from my lessons, I'm not going to speed, I'm a changed man, the same thing he did 2 years ago. He didn't want to have to regurgitate that, so the next time it does happen, he just seems like even more of the hypocrite that he already was the first time this has happened.
People say things all the time with no intention of changing.
I'm with you, but
when you give the impression of, yeah, I'm not talking about that. The brazen dismissal of this.
Sure.
That I think you're starting to play with fire. Well, now, because there are going to be people to defend you. If something ever serious does happen in a car with you, this is going to be part of how people view that. Well, he didn't care then. He clearly doesn't care now. And that could have, honestly, very real legal consequences later down the line if, God forbid, anything happens, which nobody's... We're all wishing for the opposite of that.
Which, by the way, is the same response we would have had for the first six times this happened.
You can't ignore that this could be something that could be played in a grand jury.
I'm just going to let the record show, this is the second time this week where we had an opportunity to say, if only you'd acted more like Shador Sanders... it would have gone better for you. Maybe these guys need to be taking media training from Shador.
Think that maybe, this maybe is the show.
If Miles
it's
had taken
because of that low
hanging
fruit.
Miles had taken Shador's response, it would have gone much better for him. And if Dylan Gabriel in the third quarter had taken the response that Shador had during the game, it would have gone a lot better for him. Maybe these Sanders have a clue. Maybe they got this media training thing figured out.
I mean, why are you talking about the fourth string quarterback? He's a fifth rounder.
Maybe we should do like a Shador Sanders media training class in Berea, and Myles Garrett can attend it because he's not very good at it.
Yeah, let's see how that one goes over. Albert Breer coming up at 2:40 today. I had to push off yesterday's hit, so we'll talk with him at 2:40. We'll get into how long this is Joe Flacco's job. Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up. Smart, tough, and accountable press conference coming up about 3:20 today. Quick hits at 3:40. Ashley Bashtock of Cleveland.com at 4 o'clock. She's usually at 3:20 with us, but obviously today with Kevin Stefanski, we're going to bump her back a little bit. And then Mark Schlereth, former NFL offensive line, he's going to be joining us. We'll talk about the Browns' chances of surprising people this year. But Myles Garrett gets defensive when asked about his speeding ticket. We got a couple calls on this, 216-474-0092, if you want to be heard on this. How much does Miles owe us in this moment? I don't know. It's much more than what you heard today, but definitely is more than what you heard today. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like.
Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.